Blog Talk Radio.
Thank you.
up, everybody? Welcome to another edition of Sports Urban Legend, along with my co-host, Macaulay Matthew. I'm, of course, William Ramo. What's up, Mac? What's going on?
Hey, how's it going, man?
not doing good, man. I'll get to that, man. You know, if you're a Mets fan, you know what I'm talking about, man. So, yeah, I'm gonna dive right into, you know, Mets ace and potential future Hall of Famer Jacob DeGrom leaving the Mets, going to Texas. We're gonna talk about that.
Yeah.
Talk about, you know, the Yankees, you know, trying to retain Aaron Judge. The Giants lost to the Cowboys, and the controversy surrounding Jerry Jones. You know, the Jets, you know, trying to restart the Mike White era, you know, with their most recent win. And, you know, talk about the Knicks, Survivor Series, MJF, you know, first appearance as the new AEW World Champion, and how it affected William Regal, and, you know, and basically more. You know what we do on this show. We talk sports, entertainment, everything else. If you want to talk about any of these topics and more, we'd love to hear from you. So the number is 563-999-3529. That's 563-999-3529. So, again, feel free to share your thoughts on any of these thoughts. We'd love to hear from you. But with that that said, yeah, let's just lead off with the big news in sports right now. And that's my former ace, Jacob DeGrom. You know, he took his talents, you know, to Texas Rangers. He went from Jacob DeGrom to Jacob DeGrom. So...
Yeah.
Now he's gone, man. This guy, he bleed orange and blue. You know, he's always talking about how he wanted to come back, how he, you know, finishing his career as a true Met, you know, from start to finish was important to him. And then, you know, all year round, you know, he's just been promising that he's going to opt out. He's going to opt out no matter what, even though he missed most of the season on the injury. He only made 11 starts. He was saying he's going to opt out. And sure enough, he bet it on himself, and it worked out for him because he got a 5-year, $185 million contract with a 6-year option worth, I think, $37 million. So it's going to balloon that deal to, like, over $200 million. And, yeah, I'm going to be honest with you, man. I mean, obviously getting a great pitcher like that is a huge risk. You know, he's been injury prone. However, man, you know, I wish he would have re-signed with the Mets, man. But unfortunately, the rumors is that, you know, he negotiated with the Texas Rangers. He'd even tell the Mets, you know, that he was going to leave before it was too late. So the Mets didn't even have a chance to match it or surpass it, you know. I mean, I think that part was kind of shady, to be honest with you. I mean, you know, he deserved the pay increase. You know, he's been the best pitcher in baseball for an extremely long time. You know, he deserves the pay raise, you know. He's the best pitcher in baseball when healthy. But, you know, it's just shady how he did it. I mean, it's, you know, it's business. You know what I'm saying? Like, you know, the last time he took a team-friendly deal to remain with the Mets, and, you know, he was being criticized for it, and now he made up for it and then some, because nobody thought he was going to get a fifth year, much less a potential six-year deal with Texas, but... Yeah, Texas, they're desperate for pitching. They wanna improve their pitching. This is probably the biggest free agent signing that they did, probably since what, Kevin Millwood, maybe, from back in the days. They really went for it. You know, they got Bruce Bochy, who's their new manager, you know, the former San Francisco Giant great manager. with those three titles, you know, in the recent years of the last decade. And then, you know, they hired a former Met, Chris Young, as the GM. So yeah, they definitely, Texas look like they're being serious now. You know, Texas has always been a historically offensive minded team. I mean, with the exception of Nolan Ryan, another former Met that went to Texas and ended up going to Cooperstown. The last time the Rangers stole somebody from us was that a guy that we thought would have signed with the Mets through free agency was probably Juan Gonzalez. You know, back in the, 2001, 2002, when there was rumors he was going to sign with the Mets, and then he just, you know, blew the Mets off and signed with Texas, you know. Or even Alex Rodriguez, when you think about it, your boy A-Rod, you know. But, yeah, man, I'm not even going to lie. I'm not even going to do a brave face. I know it's business, but, yeah, man, I won't lie. It stings, man. I'm not even going to lie because, you know, I thought this guy was going to remain a Met for the rest of his career. I thought he was as loyal as they come. You know, I was surprised when Syndergaard left, because Syndergaard, he literally played the same playbook Syndergaard played, you know, saying that they want to come back here and all that stuff. And then they negotiated their contract with the American League West, you know. Syndergaard, you know, went to the Angels, and then of course, then he later got traded to the Phillies, went to the World Series, and you know, lost to the Astros, and now Jacob DeGrom, he's going to start a new era. This guy had the potential to, I mean, you know, this guy had the potential to be right up there with Seaver, you know, as the all time great Met pitchers, you know, as humanly. You know, that sounds impossible, you know, but he would have been in that same sentence with Seaver, you know. I don't think anybody could top Seaver, but Jacob DeGrom's dominance, he really put himself in that potential to get up near that mark, you know, or get close to it. But, you know, that's out of the question now. His career ends with 82 wins, I think 57 losses, if my memory serves me right. And I think a 2.51 ERA, struck out over 1,000 guys. I mean, this guy was dominant, but now he's taking his talents to Texas. Yeah, what's your thoughts? Are you happy that he's out of the National League East? You know, you don't have to face him in the Subway Series, or
I mean, that wasn't my worries, you know, because the Yankees aren't in the National League East, but now he's going to be in the American League, so he'll be a pest to us now, facing him, you know, six times or so, you know, coming season. But as much as you can blame DeGrom, you have to blame the Mets for this too, because I don't know what type of deal the Mets offered him. It certainly wasn't better than the Rangers deal, that's for sure. But yeah, I get the fact that he wants to go home to be closer to his family in Florida. But isn't New York closer to Florida than Texas is?
And yeah.
Doesn't the Mets have a minor league system in Florida too?
Exactly.
Doesn't make any sense.
I didn't think it made any sense to me either. I mean, maybe he felt like Texas, you know, I guess old-fashioned country-wise is similar to Texas instead of going to New York. I don't know. Or maybe he just didn't like the New York lifestyle. I mean, his theme song is The Simple Man. You know, he's a pretty laid-back dude, except when he's on the mound, where he's very competitive. But yeah, man, it's a head scratcher, and the reports are is that the Mets didn't, you know, the Mets didn't even get an opportunity to match to the deal or anything. So, I don't know.
He really wanted to leave, man.
Yeah, I mean, that's, yeah. If that rumor is true, then he really didn't want to come. if that rumor is false and he did let the Mets in and the Mets thought it was too much or whatever, then that's a totally different story. But even though it is a risk giving him that much money, but I would have done it because, you know, this guy is the best pitcher in baseball. You don't want a guy like that to reclaim himself. It's like Nolan Ryan, you know. Basically, Nolan Ryan, he was injury prone. Not to mention he was, I think, serving in the Navy at the time when he was with the Mets. But Nolan Ryan, it was revealed later on a few years ago that he asked for the trade. He wanted to be traded because, you know, that trade is, you know, arguably the worst trade in Mets, one of the worst trades in Mets history, why he got traded. But, you know, DeGrom, he willingly left as a free agent, and he lied to us the whole time saying that he wanted to come back. And, you know, it is what it is. Either he lied or his feelings changed. I don't know.
There's always two sides to the story, so we'll see.
Yeah.
If he left or Mets didn't give him the deal that he wanted.
Normally I wouldn't, you know, care about watching another player's, a former Mets, press conference, you know, because once they're gone, they're gone. I mean, you know, it is what it is. But I am very curious to see what he said, what his reasonings were, because he said one thing and his action proved another. So I don't know.
I have to see about that. And I'm seeing now all these Mets fans or supposed Mets fans now, they're bashing. They're bashing DeGrom, saying, "Oh, he's gonna be washed up when he goes to Rangers. Oh, he's injury prone."
You guys weren't saying that
when he was pitching for you guys this past season.
And I agree. Hey, I'm being consistent. I mean, he was one of my favorite players on the team. He was probably my favorite player on the team, probably until Alonso popped up, to be honest with you. And then he stood down to number two. I was a huge fan of this guy, man. Like, I was really mad. I was mad at my team, you know, because they played the worst offensively and defensively when he's on the mound. So, I was a huge Jacob DeGrom supporter. You know, I mean, it's just messed up that he left, but you know, it's business. What can you do, man? You just, I guess, wish him well as long as he's not facing the mess, I guess. I mean, I don't know. I don't even know what to think, you know. But it is what it is. Yeah. He left.
Well, you know, it's Rangers. They get one healthy, one of the most dominant pitchers in baseball. And it just adds another arm to their roster, and we'll see if DeGrom, if he can keep going. You know, a lot of people are saying his best years are behind him, but you know, he's only what, 34, I think.
Mm-hmm. He turns 35 in June.
Yeah, so I think he has several more years left in him.
Mm-hmm.
He's had some injuries, but you know, that's part of baseball,
mm-hmm.
part of sports. You get injured, and he throws hard.
Mm-hmm.
He might have to become more of a finesse
pitcher,
you know, not throw it hard all the time.
Mm-hmm.
And just mix in different pitches, slow speed pitches, you know, in there. So just
mm-hmm.
trying to throw 100 miles per hour all the time.
But the thing is, I think he doesn't try to throw it hard. I think he naturally throws it hard.
Hmm.
You know what I'm saying? Like, he's a hard thrower, but I don't think he intentionally throws hard. It's just that it just naturally moves and it speeds up. Because if you look at the way he pitches, he doesn't deviate. Like you don't see him like running back and throw, you know, like trying to, you know, like how a hard thrower, you know, like sometimes they use their power to like get a little extra giddy up on their fastball. He just throws it naturally and it explodes.
Yeah.
You know, like you know, hey, what can I say, man? I'm going to miss that guy, man. But I'm going to feel a lot better if they sign, hopefully, Verlander and Rodon. If they do that.
The Yankees are very interested in Rodon, too.
Yeah, I know. And I'm pretty sure Yankees are interested in Verlander. So,
yeah.
I mean,
yeah.
So I would feel a lot better. Because, I mean, for all, this whole offseason, people were saying, you know, sign Jacob DeGrom. Mets are going to sign Jacob DeGrom or Verlander. But I was always, my thinking was the whole time, up until yesterday, was they should sign both. Because if they would have signed DeGrom and, you know, re-signed Bassett, you know, it's basically they're running it back. They didn't improve the team. They just sustained the team. You know what I mean? But they have to make the necessary moves to improve to keep the best parts of that of the team at build on it. You know what I'm saying? But what can you do, man? The Grom is gone. So, you know, your rotation's gonna take a hit. I mean, if they could get Verlander and Rodon, which a lot of people think that's a, you know, impossibility, that Mets are not gonna spend that much on two frontline starters like that. To me, they have to get those two guys. They can't sign one of those guys and sign like Andrew Heaney or Jameson Taillon or somebody, you know, a guy who's, you know, who's not a number one or a number two starter. They need an ace or at least a number two starter, you know, for the Mets to be a serious team, because they're battling against the Braves who failed to defend the World title, and they also shared a division with the National League champions, Phillies, who lost to the Astros, you know, highlighted by that no hitter, you know. So the Mets, they need to get their act together. Yeah, they won 101 games, but that 101 game wasn't good enough for them to, you know, get out of the wild card series. So, you know, we got a lot of work to do, you know. Luckily, we have the NL Manager of the Year in Buck Showalter, but they gotta make some improvements. For this team, because they really need to improve the bullpen, whether it's getting Chafin, you know, as a lefty reliever or someone to that effect, because they really need to revamp this bullpen. You know, Lugo, most likely they're not going to re-sign him, because last time I heard, he wants to be a starter. So they really need to improve the pitching all together, starting and bullpen. So, and not to mention the offense. So, Mets got a lot of work to do. We shall see what happens. Moving on with the Yankees, the Yankees, Aaron Judge, he's rumored to probably getting a 9-year contract. I'm assuming it's going to be 10. And you know, the I heard that Steph Curry was recruiting him in San Francisco.
To go to San Francisco, yeah.
Mm-hmm. I mean, what's your thoughts on that?
Well, I mean, I want him to stay, of course, come back with the Yankees, and if Yankees are willing to offer him 9 years, $300 million, whatever it is, to stay, yeah, definitely, Judge has to take that deal. No question about it. I don't know if any other team can offer what the Yankees can offer. Sound like Giants are going toe-to-toe with the Yankees right now. But I think Judge is going to come back when it's all said and done. I think he will come back as a Yankee. I'm not buying this whole him going to the Giants talk. So you can tease it all you want, but he's going to come back as a Yankee, guaranteed.
Yeah, I definitely think so. Yeah, I think it's too much of a risk for him to go to the Giants. You know, he has
the Giants are a good team. Don't get me wrong. They had a good season, and they have a very good team right now. And adding Judge would even make them even better. make them a World Series contender. But I think Judge will come back to the Yankees once they finalize that deal.
Mm-hmm. Totally agree with you. Shifting gears to the Jets. Yeah, man, they're gonna be on the road against the Vikings in Minnesota. You know, Jets are gonna try to keep their winning streak going. You know, they had a great win with Michael White. The Michael White era has returned yet again. They whooped the Bears at home by the final score of 31-10. You know, it was a great bounce back win from that horrible Patriot game that, you know, Zach Wilson, you know, basically cost them that game. And then once the reporters were at, you know, asked him to be accountable, he was just deflecting it. And as a result, he rightfully lost his job to Mike White. And Mike White, he took charge. You know, he went 22 for 28, 315 yards, threw 3 TDs.
Yeah, he played great.
Mhm. I mean, they got
Elijah Moore, his first touchdown, receiving touchdown of the year.
Garrett Wilson had two. You know, Elijah Moore came out of the witness protection. You know, Zach Wilson couldn't recognize him. So, you know, he finally had a sighting. And, Garrett Wilson had the two touchdowns. And all in all, it was a great game for the Jets, you know. And hopefully they can keep it going on the road, you know. So
yeah, I'm liking Mike White.
Mm-hmm.
I'm liking Mike White. You know, I like the way he seems like he's more he's more confident in that pocket than
mm-hmm.
Zach Wilson is,
yeah.
And his throws downfield are impressive as well. I just have a better feel for him than Zach Wilson. I think Jets should finish out the year with him as starting quarterback. And Zach Wilson, who knows how long he remains with the Jets after this year, but
mm-hmm.
It's looking like Mike White is going to remain the quarterback for now.
Yeah, and this is his second go-around with the Jets.
Yeah.
You know, when he debuted, he played well.
Yeah.
But now this season, he's finally getting his opportunity to start again, and you know he's making the most of it. And I think they gotta ride that hand, you know, that hot hand, because you know, like you said, he's poised, you know, he's fearless, you know, on the field, and the team is very eager to play for him, so.
Yeah. I mean, the offense under Zach Wilson was just stagnant at times.
Mm-hmm.
Last week, the offense was just flowing. You know, just throws down the field and you're just finding the right guys and just whipping the ball around to different guys. I mean, the offense was very impressive. It was probably the best offensive game they just had this year, I think.
Yeah, no doubt. Absolutely. And now they gotta keep this momentum going.
Yep.
Today, or I should say, in a minute from now it is gonna be today. But yeah, on Sunday afternoon. So, and then afterwards, after that, you know, this upcoming next Sunday, they're gonna be on the road against the Bills. So that's gonna be a big series there, right there. So. Let's hope Jets can keep this streak going, you know, and sweep the series with the Bills next week. You know, following their 2017 victory in November 6th. So, yeah, but first things first, they gotta beat the Vikings. So we'll see what happens there. Shifting gears, the Giants. Giants are going to try to bounce back from their 28-20 loss in Dallas against, the rival Cowboys. Today, they're going to be hosting the Commanders, the Washington, formerly known as the Washington Football Team, just last year, among the other controversial name. But what's your thoughts? Oh, actually, so yeah, what's your thoughts?
Well, the Giants, that game against the Cowboys on Thanksgiving was very, it kind of hurt my heart a little bit there. That was
and
a big game for us. And my stomach, yeah. Well, actually, no, the Thanksgiving food hurt my stomach. You know, that Giant game, it hurt my heart, but that was a big game, and we didn't come through. We didn't come through at all in that game. The Cowboys just looked better. They were they're just a better team than us right now, and so you got to give it up to them. But offense again, sometimes it's just inconsistent. That's our big problem right now for the Giants team. I mean, there's talk that Odell might be coming back with us.
Mm-hmm.
So if we do end up signing him, that would give our offense a boost after we lost what's his name again? Sterling. I'm forgetting his name again. Our number one wide receiver, Sterling Shepard, after we lost him for the year. So having Odell back would be a big boost to the offense. So I think right now that's what we need. You know, this offense needs some type of help, because at times, you know, we just struggle to score. I mean, the defense has been sharp for most of the year. So, but fortunate enough, we're 7-4. So we're right in the mix of making the playoffs. We just got to get back on track. And tomorrow, who do we play again? Let me see.
You're facing the Commanders.
The Commanders, who are also playing very good right now. They're 7-5. So this is a trap game, even though we're home. But we could still end up losing this game to the Commanders if we don't, if we're not up for this game. So
you're saying the Washington is trying to command your attention?
Yeah. They've been playing good. You got to give it up to them. They've been playing good. I mean, if they beat us tomorrow, they'll have a better record than us. So we definitely got to win this game tomorrow. This is a must-win game for the Giants.
Oh yeah. They have a bunch of games in a row against their division rivals. They lost to the Cowboys. They're facing the Commanders today. Then they're gonna host the Eagles. Then they're gonna go on the road with the Commanders, and then they're gonna face Vikings, and then
might end up signing Judge as well. So you got all this going on with the Giants.
Look at it. Hey, when a Giant team's gonna have them.
Yeah, that's true. True. True.
You have to be a wide receiver.
Yeah. But do or die tomorrow. We gotta win this.
Mm-hmm. Hey, Aaron Judge. He could be like Obi Toppin. You know, he got that alley-oop ability.
Yeah.
And they sure could have used them yesterday, Saturday afternoon, because stop me if you haven't heard this one before. Knicks at home, they have a double-digit lead, and then they blow it. Team, man, it's like I can't enjoy a Knicks game from start to finish. I mean, I know they had one game against the Pistons where they actually, dominated the whole game. But it's like every single game, they could be leading, they could be beating a team 100-0 nothing, and they'll find a way to lose it. 101-100. You know what I'm saying? Like in overtime or whatever. Like this team, man. Like it's just frustrating to watch, man. Every year they get us. every single year they get us, man, that we think they're going to be at least a – and we're not even talking about a championship team. This is in the 90s where we think they're going to be a championship team, you know. We just expect them to be mediocre. Like, just be mediocre and make the playoffs and don't embarrass us. That's all we're asking for. But they can't even play good at MSG. Like, come on. MSG, you can't even play good at MSG? Like, they don't even wear the home white. They rarely wear the home white uniform at home. It's like they know, like, they don't deserve to wear the Knicks uniform. So they just wear the road uniform at home. Like, this team, like, it's just, I mean, it's just so disheartening. I mean, what were you going to say?
I was thinking about this today. I was thinking, you know, this year I haven't watched a Knicks game from start to finish.
Yeah.
And I think to myself,
why bother?
Maybe if I watch the Knicks game, the whole Knicks game, you know, that will kind of, I will give them some of my magic, you know, mm-hmm. so that they could win the game. By just watching all of the game. Maybe that's why they haven't been winning this year, because I haven't mm-hmm. watched the full game.
Mm-hmm.
So because I was at Hooters the day after mm-hmm. Thanksgiving. And even then, I arrived late, and my focus was more on the Hooters waitress than the Knicks game. And the Knicks ended up losing. So I said, you know what, let me put my focus on this Knicks game, and maybe they'll win just because of that. And then I watch the whole Knicks game, and they still end up losing.
Yeah.
So even when I give them my undivided attention, they still lose.
Yep.
So this Knicks team, I mean, Thibodeau probably has to go, it looks like.
Unfortunately, yeah,
unfortunately.
He does. I mean,
It's sad to say, because he got us to the playoffs when he came here. And
yeah.
This team looked like they were adapting the defense, his defense. But ever since then, I mean, they've been playing very inconsistent ball. I mean, their defense sucks this year.
Mm-hmm.
It's horrible. I mean, they could score. You know, they have a lot of talent on this team to score points, but they just can't play defense at all.
It's like we have Mike D'Antoni coaching the team right still.
Yeah. Yeah, that's what it feels like this year. So something has to give.
Like, it's a straight-up joke. Boston finally had a bad game. Had, only 13 points. Randall scored 24. Bad scored 13. Emmanuel Quickley is the only person that had a good game, really, when you think about it. He had 23 points. But yeah, the Mavericks, you know, Doncic, of course, he dropped 30 on the Knicks, 30-8, and then Tim Hardaway Jr. came, you know, the ghost from the past. He came and scored 28 points on the Knicks. And not to mention Reggie Bullock added, 10 points as well. But, yeah, it's just – yeah, what can you say, man? It's like, it don't matter they can have a double – they always have a double-digit lead. They always have a double-digit lead. And then, in the third quarter or whatever, they're, like, high-fiving each other, like, chest bumping each other and acting like they nail a game-winning shot, to end the game. And then afterwards, they blow the game. They blow the game. Like, this kind of reminds me of what RJ Barrett said last year. Like saying last year's team was a – last year he was saying, like, last year's team is a good team because we hold – we go up by 20 points on the team. But it's like, yeah, you guys score – like, you guys have, like, a 20-point, 30-point lead on teams, but then you always blow the game and lose the game anyway. This is the MO of the Knicks. Like, it don't matter how big the lead is. They always blow the lead, but then when they blow the lead, they can never come back. They can never come back and get the lead. And then once it's going to overtime, you might as well just shut off the TV, because they never make a game winning shot. They never make a game winning shot to prevent overtime, and they never make a game-winning shot to in overtime. It's like they always, once it goes to overtime, once it gets to like the final 20 seconds to overtime, they can't score. And they sure as heck can't play no defense. So it's like they might as well just walk off the court. Just walk off the court. That's what they should just do. it's like a blowout game. Like when the Knicks fans walk off the court, you know, walk off the court and go home, you know, like in a blowout. That's what the Knicks should do. Once it gets to like, you know, a final second, a final possession, you know, in the game, when it's our time to shoot or play defense, we should just walk off the court. That's what the Knicks players should do. Just walk off the court and not save us the embarrassment of them allowing a shot. Like, it's like when they're down by a bucket, they try to shoot a three. When they need a three, they go inside to try to draw a foul and try to get a alley-oop, like a layup, to score and a foul. It's like this has been plaguing the Knicks for like 20-something years. They do the same exact thing over and over again. Like, I can't even, like you're saying, you haven't watched the Knicks like from start to finish. Yeah, for the most part, I haven't watched it start to finish either, because it's like watching a Knicks game used to like live and die with every basket, every shot, every miss. But it's like, you know, it's gonna happen. Unless it's like a playoff game, it's like you're just going through the motions watching them. Because you know they're up by 27 points. You get excited, but it's like, but then they're going to blow it. It's like the joy is out of the game, man.
Yeah, that's pretty much the Knicks MO. Has been forever, pretty much.
Like,
I don't know what else to say.
Yeah, man. And then to make matters worse, we're gonna be playing against the Cavaliers, 6 p.m. And
the
then
Cavaliers
we're gonna be haunted.
Playing really well this year.
Yeah, and we're gonna be hosting the ghost of what should have been the Knicks' present and future, Donovan Mitchell, who we could have drafted. You know, instead of maybe RJ Barrett, I can't remember who it was. But yeah, we could have got him. We could have got him drafting him. We could have got him in this trade in the off season, and now he's living up to his potential. I mean, he's always been a great player, but now he's taking his game to a superstar level. I assume he would, had he came to the Knicks. But that's another thing. That's an opportunity, man. That's the opportunity that we lost. Man, I'm not saying he's a great all-time great player, but he would have rose his game. You know, like, this dude is from around here. This dude grew up a Knicks and a Mets fan, man. Like, you have to be crazy to root for one of those teams. Imagine how diehard, loyal, and tough you have to be to root for both of those teams. Like, come on. Both of those teams that were orange and blue, that always lose, you know what I mean? That exemplifies underdog and winning two titles and all that stuff. But this dude was willing to come here, but we couldn't pull the trigger on this trade, man. And that's another thing that sucks, man. That we could have had this guy. He could have been a difference. I'm not saying he would have made us win a championship, but him and Bronson, you know, that would have brought some excitement back to the Garden since you know, Melo and Stoudemire. And
now let me remind you now.
Yes.
If we had traded if we had gotten Donovan, we would have to give up Toppin. We'd have to give up Quickly. And some draft picks. You were willing to do that.
Hey, man, I like both of those guys. I like all those guys. Especially, I didn't want to give up on Toppin and Quickly, but I mean, man, like I was saying, I don't want to give up those guys. But RJ Barrett was the only guy that was like we could not get rid of.
Well, Barry right now, he's not living up to that contract. Right
I know. Believe me. Believe me. And that's what makes it even worse. That's what makes this non-trade even worse. We keep getting haunted by this non-trade.
Yep.
Nope. Just a typical year in the life of a Knicks fan. What can I say? Oh, yeah. And then after tonight, we're going to be hosting the Hawks. So we're going to be haunted by Trae Young, the guy who knocked us out of the playoffs a few years ago.
Oh, yeah, that's right.
So, yeah, it's just everybody wakes up to play at the Garden, and Knicks take a night off every time they play at the Garden. All they just focus at looking at Celebrity Row, who's there. You're the Knicks. You're supposed to be the main attraction. Stop looking at the celebrities who's at the game. Just date them after the game is over. Like, stop staring at their focus.
Let's see who's in the audience here now.
I mean, like, you're the main attraction. You're the Knicks.
Is Fournier still with the team?
Supposedly he is. I mean, he might be teammates with Elijah Moore for all I know at this moment. Because this guy, he's benched. And, I mean, rightfully so. I mean, they should trade him and Randall from the get-go in the offseason anyway. So, because he's clogging up all this, he's making all this money. He never played defense. And now he's not even playing so he could shoot threes. So he has no trade value whatsoever now. I mean, to be honest with you, I thought that he was overpaid before he even played with the Knicks, to be honest with you. I didn't think he deserved that contract, to be honest with you.
You're talking about Fournier?
Yeah, I mean, he's a decent player. He can shoot threes.
Yeah.
And to his credit, he did knock down more threes in the history of any Knicks player. I mean, obviously, you know, he's been jacking up threes. You know, that's his specialty. But... yeah, man, the guy don't play no defense, man.
I actually thought with the addition of Brunson that Brunson would have helped his game because he's a spot-up shooter.
Oh, yeah.
Brunson would find him open. And I just think, like, Fournier is not good in his current system. You know, and if it was in another system where he can thrive with an up-tempo offense and – have a point guard who can find him for spot-up shooting, which Brunson is supposed to be doing, I think Fournier would thrive in an offense like that. But our offense right now isn't like that. Isn't set up for that. Even though we've had our moments this year.
Mm-hmm.
You know, but I guess Fournier's, you know, probably going to have to trade him to another team, you know, so he can be a better fit for another squad. We'll be able to that team will be able to take advantage of his outside shooting.
Yeah, man. Maybe we should trade him to the ABA or the G League or something.
Nah.
You know what I'm saying?
Nah. I think he could still help any team out there.
Oh, yeah.
He could still help a contender, I think.
Yeah, on a great team, he could be
on a
bench. Man. He could be a great six man. If you use them effectively, yeah. They grossly, and that's my other problem with the Knicks. They just grossly overpay for people because they know no star players want to come to them. The only time a star player wants to come to the Knicks is draft night when it's draft lottery, when it's the NBA draft. That's the only time star players want to come to the Knicks. And then when the Knicks don't draft them, then they feel a type of way, and then they want to have a career game against us at MSG. But it's like everybody has their career game at MSG. Not starting not to – it doesn't even matter anymore. Like I mean, boxing used to be like the home. You know, MSG used to be the home when it was, you know, the world's – you know, was really the world's most famous arena. I mean, now, you know, people just come here to have their career game and then go home and hop on their private jet and you know, and do their thing. Like, we're not the destination anymore. It's like we're the parking lot for all these players. They just park their car, score, get their career high, and then leave. That's it. It's like a heel wrestler cutting a promo about how the Knicks stink and all this stuff, and then they do their thing and then they leave. They hop on a private jet and leave. You know, it's the same thing, man. It's like these players, man. They don't want to come here. None of these players have the guts come to New York City, you know, and try to change this culture, the franchise. I'll give Brunson his credit. He obviously he's not a superstar player, but I'm saying none of these superstar players wanna take their talents to New York, and that's what the Knicks is always gonna be in the situation.
Yeah. I mean, I don't know what else to say about the Knicks. You know, it's
yeah.
I'm not going to give them my undivided attention. I made the mistake of doing it today, and I won't do it again.
I don't blame you.
I'll focus my attention on Hooters waitresses next time I go to Hooters.
And shifting gears.
Someone probably tuned into the show like, you mentioning Hooters. What is that about?
I guess he doesn't give a hoot about the Knicks anymore. But shifting gears, man, the Nets, they're going to be hosting the Celtics. You know, Kyrie's former team coming to town. The Nets, they've been on a winning streak here. They've won like what, 4 games right now. They're gonna try to extend this winning streak to 5. They beat the Trailblazers, they beat the Magic, they beat the Wizards, and then they beat the Raptors. So now they're gonna try to beat the Celtics at the Barclays Center. So yeah, the Nets they're bouncing back right now. So yeah, so we'll see.
They play the Celtics tomorrow and
actually today.
Yeah, today. Now that it's midnight, but
mm-hmm.
that should be a big matchup between those two teams. Rematch of last year's playoff matchup. The Celtics are looking like world beaters right now. I mean, right now they would be my pick to win the NBA Finals. At the final, Jaylen Brown and Tatum, and they're the dynamic duo like Batman and Robin.
Mm-hmm.
So they're playing real well, and I think they have a chance to do big things this year.
Oh yeah, for sure. They almost won it last year too.
Yeah.
So yeah, absolutely.
And when they get Fournier, you know, that's going to add to even more good shooting outside.
Let's hope so.
Yeah.
I ideally want to help the Celtics out, but hey, if we can get rid of this contract, I'll drive them over there. Or I'll call Tommy Vercetti to pick them up or something. Shoot. And as long as we could drive them out. Hey, they could take Randle too. You know, Randle's up and down to me, man. But,
wow. Actually, anyway, I think Randle would be a good fit for that team when I think about it.
Yeah, he would be. He would be. And I think he'd be extra motivated going over there. Because, you know, he still has his up and down games. I mean, he scored, what, 23 points today? You know, he had a decent game offensively. But, you know, he's up and down, you know. I mean, I would assume he would have been more consistent, you know, with having Brunson, you know, taking the pressure off him. But, you know, it is what it is. I don't think Randle will ever be the guy that we want him to be in New York.
Yeah.
You know, he could be a number 3 option on a great team. you know. But shifting gears before we go to wrestling. What's your thoughts on the whole Jerry Jones situation?
That photo of him amongst those white teens blocking off those black teens from entering the school back in 1957, years after the Supreme Court struck down segregation, I think that picture is very suspicious. Mm. I mean, Jerry Jones himself is claiming that he was just an onlooker. He wasn't involved in preventing those black teens from entering, but I mean, it's a very suspicious picture. And, you know, and I'm not saying he's a racist, or if he ever was a racist. I mean, that's not a good look for him from that picture. And the way the media just stopped talking about it after several days makes it even more alarming, you know. So I don't know what to make of it, you know, but it makes you – there's a lot of questions surrounding that photo.
Mm-hmm. And, yes, you know, I understand people's opinions change over time, you know. You get older, you get mature. But we don't know if he's mature or not. I mean, some people think he might be allegedly racist because, you know, he had a lot of opportunities to hire black head coaches and he never did. Like, he could have hired legitimate coaches like Tony Dungy, Mike Tomlin, or even hire, you know, cowboy greats like Michael Irving or Emmitt Smith to be the head coach, and he never pulled the trigger on that. So, I mean, again, I wasn't there when he was taking that photo, so I don't know if he is racist or if he was racist, but it don't look good. I mean, the only way he could have convinced me that he wasn't racist back in those days, because, again, like I said, I don't know if he was. I don't know if he is. But the only way he could have redeemed himself would have been if he was holding a sign like, you know, hey, civil rights for all, or, you know, you see him, like, you know, arguing with, you know, the white mob people, you know, preventing the black kids from going to school. He just, yeah, I mean, if he was like a abolitionist, you know, he would have been, you know, and you would have saw him arguing with somebody in the mob that want to lynch them, the black students. He looked comfortable, you know, in the crowd, you know, from that snapshot of the photo. You know what I'm saying? But we don't know, like we said, like, but it just didn't look good, like, to, in my opinion. But
there's a lot of questions surrounding that photo, and we can't tell if he's a racist or not based on that picture, but you know, it definitely makes you think, you know, what the hell is he doing there?
For real. You could listen to a radio game, like, listen to, I don't know, some sporting event or something, or music. I mean, you had good music in the 50s. You could listen to, I don't know, Elvis or, you know, any Little Richard or somebody like that. Like, I mean, come on, dude. Like,
yeah.
You literally had nothing else better to do than to go to the thing. Like,
would you say that if you were able to time travel or quantum leap, that's the one decade you want to go to, the '50s?
Man,
actually, there's plenty of decades I wouldn't want to go to when I think about it.
If I was going to time travel,
but as far as from 19. Damn, I guess from 1920 on.
1950s and back. Yeah.
Okay, let's say 1950s and on, yeah. 1950s and on.
Okay, yeah. The only way I would go back to the 1950s is if I had full control of when I can teleport, you know, time travel at will. I would not experiment in time. I mean, because there'd be some interesting stuff I'd like to see. I would have liked to have seen the Dodgers win the World Series 55. That would be interesting. That might have been the only. That could have been probably the only thing I would have wanted to see in the 50s. That I could think off the top of my head. Other than that, like, but I would have to have full control because I would not want to time travel in the 50s and get stuck there.
Yeah.
Yeah, I don't. That would not be a fun experience at all. But yeah, what would you want to see if you could time travel? If you time travel to the 50s, what event would you like to see?
In the 50s? Wow. Man, I'd probably want to catch a Yankee World Series at that time, right? You see DiMaggio up close in person and have him and then have him call me nigger after getting autographed. <You know?
laughs> Well, I mean, I assume he wasn't racist, but...
No, I'm kidding around. I'm kidding around.
what was I going to say? I mean, we could have watched the Knicks playing the NBA Finals 3 years in a row.
Oh, yeah, that's true.
But they
that's
lost
true.
Every three all straight, so I don't...
Yeah.
That I don't know. I guess... I don't know. I guess I'd be 50-50 on that.
Yeah.
I
mean, 50s would not be on my top list of decades that I'd want to go to. Maybe 60s? Yeah, 70s for sure.
I think 60s on would be.
Yeah.
And even with that, like, I would have to have full control of when I could, what year, when I could come back to the present or whatnot. If I'm, like, quantum leaping, it's against my will, where I'm going, no pun intended, you know, then, the Quantum Leap reboot would be a very short-lived series, I guess, for myself and the show.
Yeah.
But, Oh, yeah, let's dive into the Survivor Series. Speaking of surviving, let's talk about the Survivor Series.
Yep.
All right, so... Team Belair, of course, I have Bianca Belair, Alexa Bliss, Asuka, Mia Yim, and Becky Lynch, the surprise member, defeat Damage Control, Nikki Cross, and Rhea Ripley. I think we picked Bianca Belair to win that, I think. Oh no! Oh,
I think
no,
I picked
that.
I think I picked
Damage Control.
Yeah, that's who I picked.
Can't remember. I was on the fence. I think because I was on the fence, I was like, I think Team Belair might win, but then again, Damage Control needs this victory. I can't remember which one I picked. I don't remember, to be honest with you. I'd have to look back. But yeah, sure enough,
I picked Damage Control. I remember. I think I picked them because I remember saying like they can't. WWE can't keep burying them.
And they did. That's exactly what they did.
Yeah.
Exactly. You can't take them seriously. And yeah, I think I might have picked Damage Control to win, even though I thought in my mind that Bianca Belair would most likely win. AJ Styles defeated Finn Balor. I think we picked them to win.
Yeah.
Ronda Rousey versus Shotzi. We all knew that. I mean, that's for the SmackDown Women's Championship, we knew Ronda Rousey was going to retain that. I mean, that we don't even have to review that. Austin Theory defeated Seth freaking Rollins and Bobby Lashley. I don't even remember if this if we even picked that, if that was even an option for us to pick. I can't remember, to be honest with you. But sure enough, Austin Theory won. I think I would have picked Austin Theory to win if this was an option. I can't remember.
I think who did I pick to win then? I think I picked Seth Rollins to retain.
Maybe you picked Seth Rollins. That's probably what it was.
Yeah.
Because Bobby Lashley would have made more sense logically because he's a big dude, former world champion, but he wasn't gonna win the title again. It would either been Seth Rollins or most likely Austin Theory winning, which is what happened. Because they're trying to make this guy the second coming of Randy Orton. And it's just not coming through, man. He's corny, man. It's like a shorter version of Baron Corbin. You know, it's like no matter how many times they try to shove him down our throats to annoy us, you know, people just don't care about this character. And then last but not least, the Bloodline. Of course, as Roman Reigns, Sami Zayn, the MVP, Solo Sikoa, and the Usos, defeating the Brawling Brutes, Sheamus, Ridge Holland, and Butch, and Drew McIntyre and Kevin Owens. Now, this match was the match of the night, man. It was epic, you know. You had Sami Zayn fully prove himself that he was part of the Bloodline, you know, attacking Kevin Owens. I mean, you can't even say he backstabbed Kevin Owens because they were on opposing teams. You know what I'm saying? They were on opposing teams. And like Kevin Owens, and props to Kevin Owens. You know, Kevin Owens, Edge, those guys always tie back stuff from history-wise. Like, you know, like, that mean that they've, you know, because WWE, when you're a good guy, it's like they want you to forget all the evil stuff that they did as a heel. But I love, like, wrestlers like Edge and I think Randy Orton does the same thing, too. And Kevin Owens. And you know, others do the same thing, too, but I can't think of them off the top of my head. Like, they acknowledge that they, you know, they've been heels. They've done underhanded stuff. And like Kevin Owens said, he's backstabbed Sami Zayn so many times. It's not even funny. In NXT and in WWE. And then not to mention Kevin Owens betrayed Chris Jericho. You know, the little friendship thing. So Kevin Owens, you know, he has a history of backstabbing people. So, you know, I thought he cut a great promo, you know, basically saying he's not even mad at Sami Zayn. Like, he's so over him to the point that, you know, he's just done with him. Like, he's not even gonna get revenge on him. That's how done he is with him. Like, it was like a very unique promo by Kevin Owens. Like, you never see Kevin Owens want to fight everybody, but it's like he's just, I guess, disgusted by him. But I guess in the same way, I guess in a weird way, proud of him that he I guess stood up to him, I guess. You know, it was a great promo, you know. What was your thoughts on the whole Bloodline storyline and, you know, this feud?
I think it was great. I mean, I like that they finally accepted, the Usos have finally accepted Sammy now as part of the Bloodline, an honorary Bloodline member. It showed that Sammy was not going to betray them and go with Kevin Owens. And now, you're going to see this rivalry continue between Bloodline and Kevin Owens and his group. And the what's it called?
The Brawling Brutes?
Yeah, the Brawling Brutes, you know. That storyline is going to continue for months, I think, up until maybe even WrestleMania. Probably. But, it just proved Sami Zayn's allegiance to the group. It proves now that the Usos can trust him going forward. So I like it.
Yeah, me too. I like it a lot, too. And, Kevin, what was I going to say? Paul Heyman, after the show, he basically gave a real-life, speech about how he feels about Sami Zayn, you know, how, you know, everybody in the group, you know, really sincerely cares about him. And, you know, he brought his, you know, he elevated the group, you know, with, you know, his performance with the, with the bloodline. And it's so true. Everybody's breaking character. You know, everybody clearly sees, you know, the potential and the greatness that Sami Zayn has, you know. And hopefully it'll lead him to have a title reign down the road sometime, you know. But yeah, moving on to AEW quickly. MJF finally returned. He debuted a new title, the BBB, the Big Burberry, and basically William Regal presented it. I don't know if you saw the footage or the highlight of it. But, you know, he explained his actions, and then he hit William Regal with the brass knucks, the same brass knucks that William Regal gave them to use on Jon Moxley to win the title. So as a result, William Regal was you know, left the ring, you know, in a stretcher. So some people are speculating that maybe this is their way to write off William Regal and maybe potentially him returning to WWE, since he was, you know, very close friends with Triple H. What's your thoughts on that?
Well, I didn't see the footage that you're talking about. This was footage that recently aired this past week.
Yeah, it was on Dynamite. I think they have a YouTube video. I could, you know, find a few. To see afterwards. Obviously, too late for you to see it now.
Yeah, I'll have to check that out. But I've been, I'm so like out of what's going on in AEW. I can't even tell you like who's the current champion right now.
Told you.
Yeah. All the updates that I get from the AEW are directly from you, to be honest. So I've been slacking on AEW, maybe because, you know, I favor WWE more. But ever since I was a little, when I was a kid, when I was growing up, a big pro wrestling fan when I was a kid, I used to be into WWE, WCW, and ECW, and some of these other wrestling organizations. But over time, it's just been focusing on WWE, and that's probably why I haven't focused that much on AEW, because I'm so used to now just focusing on one brand instead of multiple brands, you know? Mm-hmm. So, but I've been definitely slack on the AEW. Definitely need to, you know, watch more of the TV shows and highlights. So I'll have to check that out when I have the chance.
I hear you. But yeah, Mac, I want to thank you for coming on the show. Anything you want to say quickly? We head out.
Everyone just have a safe and sound weekend, and check out my show. Check out your local listings for my show IMAC, and come back here next week. Check out Sports of a Legend every Saturdays at 11, only on Block Talk Radio.
You heard the man. Check out my show Sports of a Legend TV, the YouTube channel. Check out my this show every Saturdays at 11, Sports of a Legend, and we'll see you guys next time. He's McCall and Matthew. I'm William Ramon. I'll see you guys next time. Peace.